I'd like to dedicate this to all of the Creator's righteous children. I have some food in my bag for you. Not that edible food, the food you eat. No, I have some food for thought. Since knowledge is infinite, it has infinitely fell on me. So, it was a stormy night. You know the kind where the lightning strikes. And I was hanging out with some of my artsy friends. Ooh, you, you, the night was long. We were cooling out until the break of dawn. Incense was burning, so I'm feeling right. I see, I picked my.
Thank you so much for tuning in to the podcast. I am so excited today. I have Dr. Sheba Quinn. She is a homeschool teacher, but I would have to say a homeschool specialist, and I definitely admire her work. How are you doing today?
I am well, lady. How are you?
I'm doing so well, and again, thank you so much for doing this. I want to ask, when did you decide to homeschool? Or, well, maybe I should go to this first. What was the starting point for you to be like, okay, I have to do this now?
Oh, wow. What was the starting point? You know how, like, when you are deeply rooted in your faith and you feel something just tugging at you and tugging at you?
Mm-hmm.
But Definitely. You are scared to move on it because you're scared what other people may say and what other people may think. And so you don't do it. And then things start happening around you that you like, oh no, this ain't going to work right here. So like my kids were going to, private pre-K and private daycare. And I was spending out like maybe $1,300 a month for, like babysitting really. And so I was like, this is crazy, right? But, of course, it wasn't enough for me to move all my intentions to homeschool because I just didn't have the support of some family members and friends that I knew would stand in judgment of me. So I didn't do it. And then what happened was that first it was my youngest. She was getting ready to go through the whole potty training thing. And the reason her daycare was so expensive because it was a center that was supposed to help kids learn how to potty train and all that while the parents were at work. So that was great. However, their method of helping the kids potty train was that they would send them in the bathroom, like, by themselves to do their thing. And the kids, you know, they had that little routine. And it was supposed to be that way, right? So one day I picked my baby up from daycare early, like earlier than planned. And I seen the little process they were doing. I'm like, this is crazy. These kids are not going to go to the bathroom by themselves. But, you know, I kind of went along with it. So I had a conversation with the director. And, you know, of course, it's like, well, I'm sorry, Ms. Quinn, da-da-da-da-da. Okay. So then it happened again. So when it happened again, I was like, you know, this is not going to work. Like, I can't do this. I was like, this is not going to work. I can't do this. So first, I snatched her out of daycare. I'm like, this, no, you're not doing this. So I left my oldest in private pre-K, right? So then when I had my meeting with the parent-teacher conference, I asked the teacher for the sight words. I'm like, you know, so what are the sight words? So I can go over them with her and this, that, the other. Well, I don't want to give them to you because you're going to drill her. And it's supposed to be a holiday weekend. And I'm like, chick, you got me messed up. Heck yeah, I'm a driller. Like, she's a student. She's supposed to get drilled. She like 4 or 5 years old. I'm a worker. Yes. And so the teacher was like, just really like not trying to give me my kids sight words. And I was like, you know what? I ain't doing this. I'm not doing it. So finally, you know, I was just like, I'm done. So like she said, it was a weekend. It was like a 3-day weekend. And I was going out of town that weekend. But the whole time I was going out of town, my spirit was just pulling, saying, do not send your daughter back. Do not send your daughter back. Because I knew she wasn't getting the education I needed her to get because I'm a teacher too. You know what I mean? So I sent her dad a message and a teacher, and I was like, Zaria would not be returning to school on Monday morning. And so they like, what's going on? You know, they just totally confused. And I'm telling him, take her out. I just sent the teacher the disenrollment form. We're done. And so he was like at home with the kids and was like, so what am I supposed to do now? And I'm like, I'll be there, you know, on Wednesday. Y'all sit still. So it was just knowing that my children deserve more, knowing that the spirit was tugging at me, knowing that I was going out every day servicing other kids and my children was not getting the education that they deserve.
When people are deciding to go against the grain and just going to their old, how did you deal with not having support from your family members or those close around you?
You know what I did? And I tell you the truth, people are still mad at me about this today, but I sent everybody in our family, our circles of family members and friends, I sent them all a text message and was like, do not disturb me between the hours of 9 and 3. We are in school. I felt like they were a distraction for me. And by them being a distraction and asking, so how y'all doing today? Is everything going well? You know, all those questions that indicate, well, we really don't support you, but you doing it, so we gonna check on y'all. You know, I need all that. So I just kind of like just, for the most part, just cut them off from my life during those hours that I consider education. And then as far as after those hours, yes, it was that whole feeling insecure thing I went through. Now, you know, we had to be a part of interacting with other family members and friends.
That leads to my next question. I'm sure one of the misconceptions of homeschooling is people think that your children don't socialize. How do you keep that consistency?
Oh, my goodness. So, this is such a broad topic in the homeschool world. So, of course, when I first started homeschooling to defeat this so-called myth that our kids are not homeschooled, I ran out and joined a co-op, right, which is a homeschool cooperative where people meet together and you teach your kids together and you build relationships and, for the lack of better words, give them socialization. So that's how they do it, through a co-op. Well, I was not ready for a co-op. Like, my youngest was real young. My kid, I had 2 under 2, and I'm trying to do some co-op, and my kids just, like, ain't ready to be detached. They all up under me. They're crying and having to use the bathroom and not really, you know, good in that situation. So I'm having to follow them to the bathroom. So it was just a mess. But I was doing what everybody told me I needed to do. And finally, I was just like, you know what? I'm done with this co-op thing. And I just started doing it my way. And how I socialize my kids is that my kids are involved in soccer. They do dance. They do gymnastics. They do softball during softball season. They're now in Girl Scouts. We do Science Day at the museum here in town. We joined Go Fish Aquarium. So they do learn about, you know, the ocean and all that at the fish museum here in town. So we just get out. Like, we get out and be where other kids are. And we participate and, you know, we're just involved. Like, my kids are so socialized to, they have more friends than I don't have no friends. Like, I'm the one who needs socialization. My kids don't. I'm the one that's lacking in friends. You want to be my friend? They have more than enough to do. Of course, there's birthday parties and play dates and just all that. So, yeah. So, you know, socialization happens naturally when you are involved with something outside of your house. I mean, of course, yeah, if you're sitting in a house every day of the week with your child, you and your child both gonna go crazy because y'all tired of looking at each other, y'all tired of talking to each other. But it's like, get out and do things. Like, do some sports. My kids love sports.
Because I think another misconception people may have is that they think they don't have the time, right, to homeschool. And they think that maybe the adjustment as far as your background, you said you came from the military, correct? And you also had a job, you were teaching. Mm-hmm. So how did you, I guess, how was that adjustment made, you know, like, to your kids from what you were doing from your job and to your kids now?
That's part of what led me to homeschooling because, like, of course, in the military, you know, we having to be at physical training, like, at 7 o'clock in the morning. So me and my kids are having to leave the house at 6 o'clock in the morning so that I could drop them off at the Child Development Center on base, so then I can make it to physical training on time and then do my work. And Lord forbid, if we have an afternoon staff meeting, I'm not getting it back to pick up my kids to like around 6 o'clock. So that's 12 hours my kids have been in the care of someone else, right? And then because of the fact that I was an educator, I would pick my kids up from the CDC on base, the Child Development Center, and I come home. you know, get them fed and bathed and then do some schoolwork with them. Of course, they were young. So, you know, we're just doing some baby Einstein and all that type of stuff, you know, like those real introductory type learning activities. Our schedule was just like, okay, I see you, I kiss you, I put you to bed, and we're up doing it again in the morning. And I'm like, this just is not working. Like, neither one of us deserve this life. Like, I deserve you guys. You know, you deserve me. We need to be spending time together opposed to just, hey, pass each other in the wind. And so it found this came a time when I was like, you know what? I've done 20 years. I'm eligible for retirement. I need to hit the button. And that's what I did. And so then once I came out of the military and I'm working, you know, as an educator here at the Museum of Aviation, you know, I'm dropping my kids off at daycare. And I'm going to work to educate other people's kids and still knowing my kids are not getting adequate education they receive. And so, of course, I'm coming home again in the afternoon. I'm drilling them. I'm teaching them things. And we're just going through the motions, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, this is just, I'm tired. They tired. This just ain't working. So finally, I was like, you know what? This just has to give. It has to go. And so, like I said, I quit my job and I came home to work with them full time. And so now how our schedule looks is like we get up around 8, well, I'm up early. Like I get up around 5, between 3 and 5 in the morning, depending on if I need to study before I get them up and do, you know, a little some exercise and meditation and go with my lesson plans for the day and all that. And the girls get up like around 7, 8-ish. We have breakfast at 8. We start our schoolwork at 9, and we try to be done with everything no later than 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And when I say everything, I mean like breaks and lunch. I like for our cutoff time to be 3 o'clock for us to just say, okay, we going to bed now. We done enough. And then around 5 o'clock in the evening, it's a lot of times it's when our extracurricular activities begin because that's when like the startup time is here in our town. So, of course, if there's gymnastics or dance or soccer or softball, everybody need to be in place by 5:15. So, therefore, around 5, we head out the door doing activities. There are some days things don't go as planned. And when they don't go as planned, I mean, we just chalk it up as if, hey, we had a bad day and whatever schoolwork we didn't finish, we'll roll it over into the week. Because, see, here's the thing. You're with your child all day. You know, you're a stay-at-home mom, basically. So, you're with your kid all day. So you have the opportunity to like learn and teach whenever time is available. There has been plenty of times I'm like, listen, we didn't get math in today. So while we're waiting on your sister to finish her gymnastics, we're going to get this math done. You know what I mean? We just take advantage of whatever time is available. It doesn't have to be a time where everyone is sitting down at the table looking at each other and filling in worksheets. I have lupus, right? So a lot of times I'm not feeling like to my best. So a lot of times we're doing schoolwork from the bed. Like we sit in the bed reading stories, talking about them, and hey, that's our day. So my point being is that when you homeschool, it does not have to look a traditional way. Like some days it looks traditional, other days it looks, hey, so eclectic and out of pocket and we just doing whatever. But at the end of the day, you're learning and that's all that matters. Like, I mean, life basically teaches you everything you need to know in just living life. And it was what you add to it that makes it, you know, the experience worthwhile.
It's just mind blowing just to, you know, not to think in the traditional mindset, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And you honestly went into my next question. I was going to ask you what a typical day was, but you covered that. So
A lot of times, like when people first start homeschooling, they think of school at home. And it is an approach called school at home. Whereas the day starts here, everyone's sitting at the table and, you know, it ends and all that. So there is that approach and it's more comfortable for people, a lot of people, because it's more traditional. It reminds them of how school is supposed to look. But on the other side of that coin is that, you know what, we don't have to do it that way. Like, who made this rule? Who said we have to do it this way? Like, if I want to go do school in a park, if I want to go do school in a library, whatever we want to do it, as long as learning is taking place, it's school. Like, whoever said that school had to be confined within four walls with a table and chairs, you know, that's what we tell ourselves because that's what society has conditioned our mind for school to look like. But that's so not true. Learning is always taking place. It's just how do you, like I said, how you expand on it? What do you want out of it? Are you looking to receive something from it? If you're not looking to gain anything from your experiments, well, then no, you're not learning. But if you're looking to gain knowledge, well, then you're learning.
How do you come up with your curriculum?
Well, you know, when I first started, of course, I followed the rules. I bought a box curriculum called ABECA. ABECA has a great funnies and math program for early learners, and I bought that because ABECA starts around age 2. So that was the beginning phase. And then after I became more comfortable in what I was doing as far as homeschooling, I started a more what they call relaxed or eclectic approach, which means that, you know, I grab pieces from here. So, like, right about now, our math and our phonics and reading comes from ABECA. Our science comes from explorations at the Museum of Aviation because they have Science Day for kids there. And then also the science museum that we have here in town. So actually, we get our science from museums. Let's say that because we attend three different types of science museums. So we get our science from the museums here. And because my kids are still young, like, I don't have to go in so deep and like, okay, name me all the body parts. What does this nervous system do? You know what I mean? It's just like very surface. So it doesn't require a lot because they are still very young. And then history, I write their history curriculum. My education degree is in curriculum and instruction. So I write their history because, you know, I got to get that history right. Like, I feel like that I was neglected in history. I feel like that I was told so many lies. And one thing about homeschooling is that you get a second opportunity to right the wrongs. You know what I mean? So everything that I was like lied to about my history, I get the opportunity to not only learn it again, well, learn the truth for myself, but I also get the opportunity to teach it to my kids. We do piano online with Hoffman Academy. I also teach them STEM, science, technology, engineering, and math, but we more so focus on the robotics and coding in a STEM. And this year we're trying a new approach. We're trying a classical education approach to education, which means that they have a lot of memory work that they have to do. So we're kind of excited about that. So my daughter's like, I remember stuff really well. I have a great memory. And I'm like, yep. We're going to put it to the test and see. So, yeah.
Is it year-round that you're doing this, or is it?
I do year-round. And the reason I do year-round, because of the fact that more than 2 weeks of schoolwork not being done by my kids, it's like start all over. Like, a lot of times, highly intelligent kids have horrible handwriting because their brain is moving so fast that they can't process it through the pencil quick enough, right? My oldest has this problem. Like, I really think she's a baby genius, but I never had a test and I never will. She just does so well in math. If we don't keep on top of her, her handwriting gets worse because her mind is moving so fast. And, you know, even though she thinks she has a great memory, it's like starting all over again in some area. So no more than 2 weeks breaks in this house.
Okay.
I mean, even if I get sick, I'm like, listen, it's 2 weeks. We got to get back to something. I'm calling y'all a sub in or something because we got to get back to work. But of course, you know, you don't ideally have to go year round. That's just what works for us.
What advice would you give to somebody, a mother or even a father, the parents thinking about going the homeschool route?
I would say that it requires a lot of patience because you're going to have days that you think that, you know what, I cannot do this. What have I gotten myself into? What was I thinking? Because some days your kids are not going to do just what you want them to do. And your house is going to be full of laundry and there's going to be dishes because you've done 3 meals and it's just you doing the cleaning. So therefore, it requires a lot of patience, And if you are of faith, it requires a lot of, you know, just talking and communicating with your higher being. Like, do not get caught up in the whole curriculum thing and the whole co-op thing. Like, do co-op when your family is ready. That's one of the biggest mistakes that I made, is believing that my kids, you know, were not being socialized, or this was the only way to socialize is to run out and do a co-op. There is no perfect curriculum. Like, even if you buy a box set, it's still not going to give you everything you want because every child learns differently. So you have to learn how your child learns, but even past that, use the library. I mean, the resources there are there, like, they are free. Some things never change. And see, here's the thing. Curriculum companies are put in place to make money. So, of course, every so often, they're going to update the curriculum. So why? We buy it again. But it's the same stuff. Like, science is science. Like, when has science changed? I mean, the only thing that's going to change is what? Pluto left and came back. I think Pluto came back now. Like, but, you know, we got rid of dwarf planet. Now Pluto is back. I mean, history, I mean, you know, we're learning more about our history now, and we have more resources available, but it's always been there. It's just that no one actually took the time to read it. Math hasn't changed. I mean, of course, they came up with the whole Common Core concept and all that. Don't get caught up with, oh, my goodness, I got to have this latest toy, this latest gadget, or I got to have this in order to teach my kids that. No, if you are starting homeschooling on a tight budget, take it for what it is. Use your free resources. There are even free online curriculum programs out there. I think one of them is K-12 homeschooling, or, you know, somebody want to contact me later and get the right address. I will certainly get it for you, but I can't, you know, I'm probably not saying it right off the top of my head right now. But there are free resources online to homeschool. So don't get caught up in all that. Don't think that money is holding you back because you have your library. There's a library in every town. It's free. You know, you don't have to run out and make way to socialize with other kids. I mean, just have conversation with your kids. Making it more difficult because society has let us believe, oh my goodness, if you homeschool your kids, they're going to be odd. They're going to be different. Well, guess what? They're odd and different anyway because you are pouring more into them than a lot of kids never receive in their whole entire lifetime. Just make different work.
In addition to homeschooling, I noticed that you have several events and I believe your own course.
Yes. I try to, you know, I want to see more African-American educators online. Like, of course, by me being in the teacher arena and all that, and working for some universities, you know, just whatever, there's none of us out there. Like, my kids actually ask for black teachers. Like, they're like, is a teacher got to be black? Where did we go lately? We went somewhere lately. I can't remember. And my daughter is like, is the teacher black? Because they get excited when they see people that look like them. But unfortunately, there's not many of us out there. So I started a program, and the Facebook group is called the African American Entrepreneur Society. And pretty much I try to teach and motivate and just get educators to, you know, hey, step out there and teach your class. And we'll register. We'll come learn from you. But it's a task because even though you want something for someone, they may not be ready to want it for themselves. So we're waiting. We're waiting, and we, you know, whenever they're ready, we're here to learn. So yeah, so that's one thing that I do. And then another thing that I do is that, again, I work with a lot of homeschool families, and I just try to really teach them how to build their own curriculum, how to curriculum map, just how to bring it all together. Because a lot of times, like I said, your children are so different that no matter what you buy, it's just not going to work. And you are placed in a situation to you like, hey, I got to put this together for myself. So my job is to help you put it together for yourself so that you can better educate your children.
And where can they find that course?
If you go to my Facebook page, which is, you know, Facebook.com/Dr. Sheva Quinn, all my courses are listed there on the page up on the events tab. So everything I'm offering is right there. I have a website, but it's under construction right now, so you would be totally lost going over there because it's just a mess.
Okay, great. No problem. And you do have a promo code for our listeners.
Yes. If you guys want to sign up, you know, hey, come on over and join me. I would love to work with you. And I'm going to tell you the difference between working with me and working with someone else as far as online training. My thing is this. I will hold your hand. Like, if you got a question and if you stuck, like, it's not pre-recorded. It's me and you. Like, I put the kids to bed, and we're going to sit there on the phone, and we're going to work this thing out until you feel comfortable. Like, this past weekend, we did the virtual homeschool conference, and I mean, it was supposed to be like over at 10 o'clock, but some nights we didn't get off for our live webinar to like 11 o'clock at night because we were just discussing, you know, just how do we bring this together? Like, I'm not in this for money. Like I said before, my house note is paid, my car note is paid, my children are happy and insecure. We good. Like, I just want to see, you know, more families homeschool. And when I say homeschool, I'm not even talking about, like, you know, you quitting your job and you being home with your family, with your children all the time, because I get that. I get that that doesn't work for everyone. Everyone does not have that opportunity. But what I'm talking about is, you know, after schooling or just working with your children whenever you have the time, like, how do we make this happen? Like, how do we bring this together? If you can only give 2 hours a week to your child, what do you want those 2 hours to look like? What do you want your 2 hours, you know, to be dedicated in? What do you want your children to get out of that? We have to take control of educating our children, however that may look. So I want to help you. I'm not a hustler. You won't see a whole bunch of advertisement online from me. Like, that ain't my thing. Cause I'm like, I ain't got time for that. I got to teach kids. You know what I mean? Like, I ain't got time to sit here making up no ads and run no ads. Nah, if you hear about me and you want to hang out, cool, I got you. But no, that ain't my thing.
Well, this has been such an amazing experience. And I really, once again, want to thank you, Dr. Shiva, for coming on here and sharing that experience.